Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Tattoo Story Day, whatever that is, Tony. Do you have a good one?
I do. I'm Tony Kornheiser. I can't go into detail, but it involves a 12-pack of White Claw, a hot glue gun, and Vin Scully. Yeah.
Do I get to ask what White Claw is?
White Claw is one of those hard seltzers. Are
what?
You familiar with that at all? It's a hard seltzer. It's an alcoholic seltzer. By the way, I'm at the iPad again, so I'll just stick my hand out so it looks gigantic.
That's good.
Outrageous. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Heat reject the Celtics, the Big Ten is ready to play football, and the U.S. Open tees off in about 13 hours. But we begin today with perhaps the most horrific choke in the history of the NBA playoffs, and it belongs to the Los Angeles Clippers. They lost three games in a row to Denver, including Game 7 last night, and they led by double figures in each of these games. Last night, the Clippers got only 33 points in the second half, and their big, rich stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, combined to shoot 10 for 38. Wilbon, what does this say about the Clippers?
Well, Tony, the first thing, I want to credit the Denver Nuggets, who are a hell of a team, and they had the two best players on the floor in both Nikola Jokic and Jamal. Tony, they were the best players on the floor. I know Kawhi Leonard has had the reputation earned as that. He was not that in most of this series, and he wasn't that last night. So, choking fine, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm interested in more specifics than that. So I tried to get in the Wayback Machine and do some old-fashioned reporting today. And talking to people inside and outside the bubble and people inside the league, Tony, including players, current ones, and they talk about, there's no love lost, by the way. I mean, people looked at this and said, wave them goodbye. As much as they love Doc Rivers and he's still beloved, and he said after the game, I got to take responsibility, put it on me. Tony, they talk about the fact that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are not vocal people at all in terms of on the court, in the locker room. That's not their deal. And too much of the personality of this team is Montrezl Harrell, Marcus Morris, and Patrick Beverley. And there are chemistry issues, to say the least. They believe, I'm not in the bubble, I'm hearing this, that they believe that. And that team was never where it was supposed to be. It reflected in the play of that team or the shortcomings. They didn't get to play out of their stars, but this is more a team-wide thing as people involved in these series, Tony, see it. It's a stunner to me, a stunner that they were that inept. But there are reasons, and they're going to have to be addressed, and I just wonder where management believes those issues are and where they should start.
Okay, I'm not in the bubble. I didn't talk to anybody in the bubble. I'm talking to you. The other day you said Carson Wentz was horrifically overrated, and yeah. I agree with that. He is. But he's not as overrated as your boy Playoff Pete. Let's go to the numbers on Paul George. He was 4 for 16 with 10 points in a game 7, not the opening game of the year, in a game 7. This is the 9th playoff game that he has shot 25% or worse. He and Kawhi Leonard, 2 of 18 in the second half of a game 7. This is a gag. They are paid hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't think this is going to land on Kawhi because he's got rings and he's got 2 finals MVPs. I think it's going to land a little bit on Doc Rivers, because nobody else in the history of the league has coached more than one team that blew a 3-1 lead. This is the third time he's done it. But it's really going to land on the self-proclaimed Playoff P, right? Because
Tony,
that was an
unbelievable.
I think they're going to trade him. I think they're going to trade him.
Tony,
because they got
I would say this.
They have given up every first-round draft pick to 3,000.
Well, you could trade them, or you could come back and try it again. And some of the other people I mentioned, the support players, while they are not the stars, Paul George is Robin. He ain't Batman, all right? Let's remember who Batman is. His first failure. First playoff failure in the case of Kawhi Leonard. But in Paul George's case, Tony,
it's
you mentioned all
George's
the previous...
It's not Paul George's first failure.
But
you
no,
love
but
you, him.
That's what I'm saying. Well, if you're mentioning all the previous failures, then maybe this was to be expected. Maybe somebody needs to adjust the level of expectation with Paul George.
Look at
if it's been playoff
Harden
failure after another.
Way, Mike. We look
but he's
at
not James Harden's Batman.
Way.
James
we
Harden's
look
Batman.
At James
you can't,
Harden
Paul George ain't that.
As a guy who fails in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Paul, you know, it wouldn't bother me so much if he didn't give himself the nickname Playoff Pete.
Yeah.
Because in the playoffs is where he is his worst. And if I'm Steve Ballmer and I've sunk hundreds of millions of dollars into this, I'm wondering what to do right now. And by the way, this opens it up for LeBron James. It is open to seize.
Let me ask you this. We'll get to that in subsequent days. We'll have plenty of time. If you are Mr. Ballmer and you're worth about $75 billion, you can do whatever you want. You can
That's right.
After you get the numbers down, you can go under the luxury tax. Would you fire Doc Rivers and would you trade Paul George? I'm asking you now since you got all the answers, even though you're not in the bubble and you don't talk to anybody.
Here's the answers. I would trade Paul George because I've got no draft picks anymore and Kawhi Leonard is a better player and I don't want this chemistry, the very chemistry you're saying doesn't exist.
Right.
Would I fire Doc Rivers? I would not fire Doc Rivers because Doc Rivers also has a ring. But this is, he owns this failure because it is his failure. It's all their failures. It's a colossal joke.
There's plenty of blame apparently to go around, Tony. A lot of it. It is going to be dissected further subsequent days. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics entered the fourth quarter up 12, but exited with a loss. Jimmy Butler made several difficult shots down the stretch, but it was Bam Adebayo who earned the headline for the Heat with his absurd left-handed block of Jason Tatum's dunk attempt with seconds left. Tone, what did this game, this finish, tell you about this series?
What it told me, first of all, is that they are pretty even teams, which we both thought going in. We both gave the edge to the Celtics, but we thought they were pretty even teams. In terms of that block, Tatum is going to throw that down with velocity. So I don't know how to buy those. Hand is not broken today. That's a tremendous block. And the other thing it tells me, Mike, is when the Celtics lose in the playoffs, they lose close. They either lose in overtime or they lose to a shot with 0.5 seconds to go.
Yeah.
So I don't really lose confidence in them because unlike your Clippers, the Celtics have bounced back in the playoffs.
Yeah, Tony, I think I agree with all that. Let me go to the block for a second. There was one person I thought, there been a lot of great blocks. LeBron made a block to get himself a championship, but that was chasing somebody down from behind. That guy can't see what's going on. Just he can feel LeBron knocking the ball away. Tony, Jason Tatum is 6'9". He is long, and he is he's this high above the rim. You know, take it to the rim, take it to the hole, strong young man, as Bill Walton used to say. He took it strong, and this reminded me of only one person, Bill Russell. I know there have been great blocks. There have been lots of great blocks in history. When Magic Johnson, who is a historian, absolutely say, this is the single greatest defensive play in the playoffs he's ever seen. I'm going, yeah, amen to that, Tone. And so I think we get close games like you believe, more close games. Jimmy Butler, by the way, let me put a plug in for my favorite player in the NBA. Jimmy Butler can score 20 points and be more effective than people who score 35 or 40 in a game and just put up phony numbers because of what he does when and at both ends and how he inspires his teammates. And you see those guys reacting to him. So all the guys in Philadelphia and Minnesota who whined about Jimmy Butler, get an eyeful now. Get an eyeful now because he led them. I don't know that I'm going to say, oh, yeah, Miami's going to win. I'm not going to say that yet. But my goodness, what a performance by so many people.
There's two things
that
need to be said. Miami is a very, very good team. Yes. Everybody knows their roles and does what they're supposed to do. Tyler Hero, who I thought was just a shooter, had 9 assists and 11 rebounds. That's a very good team. And I'm a little bit worried about Kemba Walker in the playoffs lately, that he's guardable and he doesn't get his shot.
I'm still
with Boston, but I'm a little bit worried. The Big Ten, your conference, has reversed itself. It will play football after all. It will play 8 games all in conference, and it will start the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. This leaves the Pac-12 alone on an island at least for a few hours. Some member schools and many players and parents wanted the Big Ten to play football, and apparently that pressure worked. Wilbon, what do you think about the Big Ten's turnaround?
Well, I'm not going to say just pressure worked. I think there was pressure at all levels. There's cultural pressure, societal pressure, political pressure, and peer pressure. Yes, all those things happen. But also, Tony, and I know this because I've been actually involved in a little bit of this in terms of listening and hearing what's going on. And the science has evolved. And by the way, it's evolved for the Pac-12 too, but they have states. And it's not like some other southern states where you can have a head coach Coach O, say, yeah, most, if not all our guys have had or have the virus, and we're just going to keep trucking. That's not the case in some states, and those are Pac-12 states mostly, but also, Tony, the Big Ten. They're also going to have, when the rapid antigen tests allow them to figure out things about the virus, who has it, without tracing necessarily, that they couldn't figure out 2 months ago. Also, being cleared, players, by cardiologists, in terms of myocarditis concerns. These are huge things that the Big Ten presidents, and I guess there's some chancellors in there too, said we need to have assurances about this. I don't give a damn about the optics or the PR value or that some people in other states think they just did a flip-flop. If they did a flip-flop, fine. Get it right. Do the best thing you can for the health and safety of your players as you see fit, and everybody else can go to hell.
I'm glad for the science, and I'm glad they're playing.
Me too.
This looks like a straight-out money grab that the people in the Big Ten said to themselves, you know what, let's start playing and let's finish on time that we can get in the playoffs, because they looked at the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC and they said, they're going to get all the money. We're not going to get any. We're not going to do that. You look around now at the pro leagues.
I don't believe that at all. Let me register that objection.
They are, okay, that's fine. You look at the pro leagues and they're all playing. So there is a way to keep it safer. Not necessarily safe. I think what the Big Ten's mistake was, Mike, at the beginning of this was canceling the season. I think they should have delayed the season.
The difference in that wording is PR.
I don't want to hear about their piety. And I'm, by the way, I'm glad they're playing.
Me too.
I'm a sports writer at heart. I'm glad they're playing. And I want to make sure that everybody's well. But the virus is still out there. So,
Tony,
I mean, I don't think you can discount the money factor here.
Discounting it. I said economic, peer, political, social, societal, cultural. I'm saying all of that. But also, Tony, you know what the pro teams don't have? They don't have people assimilating with folks and living with them. So in the case of campuses that have thousands of positives, I'm not going to ignore that. So there is science involved, and I'm glad that this conference took that into account, whether it was cancellation or a delay. I don't care about the wording.
Good for them. Good for them that they took it into account. I just don't want to believe that they thought they were better than everybody else by making a hard and fast decision.
Just different.
And now they put their commissioner out there in a position where he just went the other way. Let's take a break. Coming up, Dustin Johnson has been dominating the tour, but should we expect him to keep it up at the U.S. Open?
And later, the Cubbies get a win by getting plunked. Not just once, either.
I'm happy they're playing, Mike.
I'm a season ticket holder. I'm real happy. And I'm happy with our commissioner. I'm happy with him. He stood there and took it. That's okay. The president's vote, not him. He doesn't vote.
Yeah, but they were a little pious.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Another golf major is upon us, and for once, I am not leading with Tiger. Dustin Johnson is the hottest player on tour heading into Wingfoot with 2 wins and 2 runner-ups in his last 4. He's also had great success at the Open, including winning it back in 2016. Wilbon, are you taking DJ or are you taking the field?
I'm taking the field, Tony. And look, I think DJ can win, but let me just mention some names real quickly. Rahm is 2, followed by JT, Rory, Morikawa, Webb Simpson at 6, Shoffley at 7, DeChambeau at 9, Patrick Reed. And then, like, in 15, you can go 15, Fleetwood, 16, Finau, 20, Justin Rose, Gary Woodland, 26. Tony, I believe you can go 26 to 30 players deep and find people who can win the United States Open. I'm not discounting what you ask at all. I'm going to take the field.
Yeah, I'm going to take the field as well. And I don't know who's going to win this, although I would want somebody who drove the ball straight and putted well. Yep. Years back, I would have said Zach Johnson. Now I might say Shoffley. I might say Justin Thomas, somebody like that who can keep the ball straight. But I'm going to pick this. It's going to be a plus win. It's not going to be
minus. A plus win.
Yeah, let me just go through this briefly, okay? They don't want what happened at Erin Hills when it was minus 16 or at Pebble when it was minus 13. Those are public courses. It's a private course. They've worked on Wingfoot for a year just to make it hard. You can lose a dog in the rough. I mean, it is going to be brutal out there, and I think they want it to be plus. The last time they played at a Wingfoot, Mike, the winner was plus 5. You're going to see a course dominate this, I believe.
It's going to be even harder than Olympia Fields, North Course, and the BMW when nobody was under par, essentially.
Yes.
It's going to be even harder because they want to make
harder.
It.
Harder. They want it. That's the Open. Let's take one last break still to come. Andy Reid may have a solution to his foggy visor, and do we really want that?
Ah, the fog was fun. Will the American League leading White Sox, say it again, Tone, American League leading White Sox, take it to the Twins again tonight?
And it's going to be cold up there in New York. 48 is going to be the overnight low.
In the morning? So in the morning,
days.
It'll be in the 50s?
Yeah.
That's not good for Tiger.
Yeah. I also like
Tiger's
Webb
back.
Simpson. Webb Simpson has that straight-ahead game. He could, and he's won an Open.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 62nd birthday, Oral Hershiser. While with the Dodgers, Hershiser won the Cy Young and the World Series MVP in 1988. That year, he was 23-8 with a 2.26 ERA. Over 18 seasons, he was 204 and 150 and 8-3 in the postseason. But his greatest mark is the Major League record of 59 consecutive scoreless innings. Hershiser has been in broadcasting since retiring and recently got into a flap over Jose Altuve. When Altuve struck out looking in a game against the Dodgers, Joe Davis, the Dodgers play-by-play man, wondered if Altuve was, quote, perhaps guessing something else, unquote. Hershiser said, quote, guessing is harder than knowing, unquote, an obvious reference to the Astros cheating scandal. Ooh. Preston Wilson, who spent 10 years in the majors and was once on the Astros, tweeted, quote, I faced Oral when he pitched for the Mets, and everyone knew the way his pitches moved was not normal, unquote. During his career, Hershiser was accused of doctoring the baseball and throwing a spitter. Former teammate Chad OJ said years back, quote, he cheats. He showed me how he did it, unquote. At the time, Hershiser said OJ was joking. Wilson says he and Hershiser recently had, quote, a fun conversation, unquote, about his tweets. Really?
I think that Hershiser, if he did, just start a broadcast by saying, I cheated. I doctored the ball like 8,000 other pitchers, and then go after the Astros with all the gusto he has. You don't have to never have cheated to call out the Astros, because they did.
Happy anniversary, Greg Schiano. On this day 8 years ago, while coaching Tampa Bay, Schiano ordered his players to bum rush the Giants' victory formation, incurring the wrath of Giants coach Tom Coughlin, who said, quote, you don't do that in this league, unquote. Schiano claimed he was coaching his team until the very end. Well, the very end came after 2 seasons, with Tampa finishing last in its division both times, and Schiano was fired. He landed at Ohio State as a defensive coordinator and was set to become head coach at the University of Tennessee until he backed off in the face of public pressure that he should not get that job because he had coached alongside Jerry Sandusky at Penn State. Schiano's now back at Rutgers, where he made his initial reputation. Rutgers was god-awful before Schiano, going 11-44 in 5 years. Schiano turned the program around. He was there 11 years, and the last six, he was 49-28, and he was 5-1 in bowl games. In bowl games, Wilbon, Rutgers. On a personal note, I know Schiano's father-in-law, Dave.
You know, the Big Ten president should have said, we'll come back and we'll play this season if we can kick Rutgers out of our league. I would have liked that. The five bowl games that he won, you tell me how many of these you know of. The Texas Bowl, the International Bowl, the PapaJohn.com Bowl, the St. Petersburg Bowl, and one I've heard of, the Pinstripe Bowl. The others, I know you can't identify anywhere any of them are except St. Petersburg because it's in the title.
That
you couldn't even tell me where the Texas Bowl is within Texas.
Happy trails to extra innings for the Cleveland Indians. Last night, Indians reliever Nick Whitgren hit Wilson Contreras of the Cubs to load the bases with one out in the bottom of the ninth. On the very next pitch, he hit Cameron Maybin to force in Chris Bryant and end the game. Both pitches were up and in to right-handed batters and hit them on the arm. Whitgren said, quote, we fight, we get back into games, and then I pull a stunt like this. It's absolutely unacceptable for me, unquote. The inning before, the Cubs scored on another wild play. Javi Baez, your favorite, was hit to start the inning and attempted to steal second. The throw went into center field and the speedy Baez kept on running to third and then passed third. The relayed throw home was offline and Baez scored on what was more like a little league play. Earlier in the game, Baez scored the old-fashioned way on a 450-foot home run.
Tony, the previous game, I think it was just one game before, he stole home essentially. The third baseman was looking for an appeal play at second, and Baez just raced home. El Mago is a wonderful nickname. This guy's the most daring base runner since Ricky Henderson. He's in that group of base runners with Ricky Henderson, Pete Rose, and yes, I'm going to throw another name, Lou Brock, and Jackie Robinson. That's how exciting Baez is on the base pass. And the Cubs have to manufacture runs and get hit by pitches because they are the hitless wonders, trust me.
You've related him to Jackie Robinson before. I know you have done that, and I know you love Baez.
Base
running. Ready for the big
base
finish?
Running. Yes, I am.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
The defending champion Mystics, the Washington Mystics, were eliminated by the Mercury, I believe the Phoenix Mercury, on a buzzer beater. Your thoughts?
One of the reasons I don't like single elimination, Tone, I just don't. I understand why you need to have it now, but I don't like it. The Islanders stayed alive, forced game six with double overtime over the Ning. You're happy, aren't you?
I am. That's my hometown team, the Islanders. I was there when the Nassau Coliseum was built and the first time they ever played, and I root for them. I don't think they're as good as Tampa Bay, but I'm happy for them right now. Andy Reid is getting a new face shield that doesn't fog up. I'll bet you're excited for him.
I'm not going to say I'm excited for Andy Reid and a new face shield, but the league has issued an edict. Wear your masks. That's mostly directed at Coach McVay in San Francisco. In L.A., place Richard Sherman on injured reserve. Is that a big deal?
It's not the same as it used to be. You're not out for the whole season. You're out at least 3 weeks, so you can come back, which is meaningful. Last one, will your White Sox make it 3 in a row over the Twins?
Giolito, who's already got a no-hitter, is going, Tony, a fourth game tomorrow. I can't call him my White Sox. I'm a Southsider, but I'm a Cub guy. My father, rest in peace, would be thrilled. We're out of time. Try and do better next time. I took your line. You don't like that, do you?
Why are you taking my line? I'm Tony Kornheiser. You take your own line. Go ahead.
I'm like Wilbon the Deuce again tomorrow, knucklehead.
What are you doing to me?
You can get us on the podcast, the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.